22, Proverbs chapter 22. I have a verse of scripture that I want to read. This is my dad's favorite scripture. Actually, it was one of the most practical passages of scripture that he implanted in the hearts of his children, my sister and I. We had grown up in a home where dad was always concerned about his name. He considered his name to be of great importance. Actually, as I read this passage of scripture, I cannot but help think of my dad. You may not know my dad, but he is a good, honest man. He was always concerned about how people thought of him. He always wanted to be known as a man of great integrity. You know, that should be important to all of us. The Bible says here that a good name is rather chosen than great riches. Now, I want to point out something in this particular passage of Scripture. That is this, that the name, a good name, is something that is chosen. The choices we make in life reflect whether or not we have a good name, one that is considered to be honest and full of integrity, or whether we're considered to be a bad person, whether we have a name that reflects bad things. You know, fame is like a vapor. This is what I think Teddy Roosevelt said. No, it was Harry Truman. He said, fame is a vapor, popularity an accident, riches take wings. Those who cheer today may curse tomorrow. Only one thing endures, and that is character. Our name should reflect good character.
Amen.
You know, how you're labeled or how you're designated, the name that your parents chose for you may not reflect anything by its definition. My name, Timothy, means honored of God. Aaron, I mentioned this, his name in Hebrew means light, and Tiffany's in Greek means light. But whether they live up to the reflection of the definition of their name is up to the choices that we make. Our name reflects something. Throughout the Bible, there are men that were given names, and in the Bible, it was more important, I think, to give a name that signifies something or means something special. However, their lives and the choices that they make also causes us to think of certain things. When I say the word, for instance, Moses, what's the first thing you think of? We think of many things, don't we? But his name actually means to be pulled from a river. Be rescued from the Nile. He was pulled from the river, and he was given the name that means being taken from a river, Moses. And when we think of other people, let's say Adolf Hitler, what's the first thing you think of? Not good stuff, right? You think of many bad things when we think of Adolf Hitler, or and I could go on and on. And what I'm trying to establish in your thinking this morning is that our name reflects something. That our friends and our loved ones, when they think of us, they will think of the choices that we have made. When I say Freddy Krueger, one of the young people usually think of. There's a name associated, or there's choices, or there's a lifestyle or a way of life that's always associated with a person's name. Now, many times throughout the Bible, and this is kind of unique if you do this study, names were chosen according to circumstances. Many times a child at birth was given a name that corresponded with the circumstance, you know, like Isaac, which means laughter. Sarah laughed at the fact that she was so old and going to be able to get pregnant. Or you think about Esau. His name actually means hairy, because even at birth, he was a hairy baby, and that so they called him Harry, you know, or actually Esau, which means hairy. So sometimes names were associated with circumstances. Even God called on certain prophets to call or name their children by a certain name that reflected the circumstances of the relationship with that the nation of Israel had with God. The longest name in the Bible, you know that trivia question that's given? What is the longest name in the Bible? Was the son of Isaiah. A name that reflected the Assyrian army going to overthrow, or in the future, prophetically, was going to overthrow the northern kingdom. And I don't know if I can pronounce it for you. You can read about it in the 8th chapter of Isaiah. Mehera Shaliah Hashbaz. That was his name. God called upon the prophet Isaiah to give him a name that reflected the circumstances prophetically of what was going to happen. Also, you can read about Hosea. Two of his children were given names to describe the situation that Israel was in. A daughter was named Lo-Ruhamah, and a son was named Lomiah, which means no mercy, and these are not my people. The significance of a name. You know, what I like most about in reading the scriptures were the times where God would change a person's name. Like Abram. When God changed Abram's name to Abraham, which means the father of many, or to signify the father of many nations. Isn't that wonderful? The very prophecy that would foretell the preaching of the gospel to us, the Gentiles. I like it when Jesus changed Peter's name. You know, his initial birth name was Simon. But Jesus called him or changed his name to Peter. He went from shifting sand to being a rock. Amen. Or like Saul. When God chose to change his name. And many times the changing of a person's name corresponded, I hope you hang with me here, corresponded with a circumstance. Something that transpired in that person's life, a change that actually occurred at the heart of a person, which would be reflected in their name. I believe every person needs that inner core change done by the blood of Jesus Christ through the work of the Holy Spirit that will reflect a new character that corresponds with the glory of God. Amen. Are you with me? Amen? Amen. Jesus told the members of one of the churches in the book of Revelation, "He that overcometh, I will give him a white stone, and upon that white stone, a new name." There must be a change brought about through the saving grace of Jesus Christ that corresponds with a change in your character. Let me speak to you just for a few moments about a good name. The only way to have a good name with integrity is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, there are people that have done some honorable things. There are people that have lived a life of some degree of respect and should be respected and honored for the things that they have done. But in order for us to genuinely have integrity, we must have a wholesomeness. I want to define for you the word integrity as being wholeness, a condition of being unbroken, a state or a quality of being complete. I believe it corresponds with what Jesus said in the 48th verse of the 5th chapter of Matthew when he said, "Be ye perfect as I am perfect." Amen. Now what was he talking about? He was talking about a completeness, a wholeness. He was talking about an integrity. We cannot have a completeness until we have a relationship with God. See, you were designed to glorify God. It's like that little boy that I heard in West Tennessee. You know, he was young. They didn't even know he'd gotten saved. And he was about 8 years old. And he came forward and joined the church, and he gave this wonderful testimony, and at the end of his testimony he said, "People, I was born to get saved. And you were too. You were too." And in order for us to reflect integrity, a wholesomeness, your life, listen to me, your life is not complete until Christ is in it. Amen. Look in the 25th Psalm, Psalms 25. So, there are circumstances many times surrounding the choice of a name. Many times the character and conditions of our name, the character or the conditions of our life will reflect our name. When many times a person will, through the change that occurs through the Lord Jesus Christ, will reflect new conditions. No matter what you have done in the past, God, through the blood of Jesus Christ, can clean up your name. Paul, who considered himself the chiefest of sinners, listen to me just for a minute, listen. He considered himself the chiefest of sinners. He persecuted the church, gave consent to the death of those that worship the Lord Jesus Christ. When God changed his name and saved him and gave him a call to be an apostle, one born out of due season, he was made into a person with a new way of life. Amen. He who once persecuted the church and persecuted those that worship and preach the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was now a preacher and a professor of the Lord Jesus Christ. What I want to tell you this morning is no matter what's going on in your life, you can have the change that comes from God that cleans up your name. What's the first thing you think of when I say Mary Magdalene? I hope you don't think of her former life. I think of the lady who was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was there at the tomb when with the others that came to with a special ointment to anoint the body of Jesus. Jesus saved her. And though her sins were many, her life was cleaned up through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And she, from that point on, with the wholesomeness that came as a result of the filling of the Holy Spirit and the cleansing that came through the blood of Jesus, she was able to live a new kind of life, a life that was whole and complete, perfect, because it was in God, and without God you have no completeness, no wholesomeness, no soundness, no uprightness. The honesty and sincerity of facing the fact that you're lost, that you've never been saved, that you're a sinner, that you're separated from God. People, till you come to that kind of honesty, to where you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as lost and ruined before God, you'll never know the true perfection found in Christ Jesus. Honesty, true honesty. You know, there was a little boy one time, he asked his mom, he said, "Mommy, what's a lie?" Some of you parents will have your kids ask some of the strangest and yet some of the most profound questions. "Mommy, what's a lie?" The mom said, "Son, it's an abomination in the sight of God, but a very present help in the time of need." We need to be honest. If we're not honest, then it does destruction to our name. Your name can move from being a good name to a bad name. Those that serve in an office, there are stipulations that they be men of good report from within and without. Amen? The kind of name, the kind of person, they are to be honest and to be of a good report. Deacons are to hold those qualifications. Pastors are to hold those qualifications. But I contend, in order for you to have a good name, you must have those qualifications. We too many times give way to our present day society. We have a generation full of blind ambition. They're striving for all the wrong things. Amen? No longer do people consider a good name of importance. But it is. It should reflect your name, your character. Your name should reflect your character. And it does reflect your character. We have people that have been on an upward mobility at the cost of integrity. In Isaiah 5 and 20, it says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them." We live in that kind of society. We live in a society that has got it all mixed up. We put more emphasis on wealth than we do a good name.
Amen.
Come on. Or having a good occupation. More important than having a good name.
Amen.
That's wrong. I'm preaching from God's Word today. Our society is wrong. But God's Word is right. A good name is to be rather chosen than great riches.
Amen.
Fame and fortune will not last. People will remember you based upon your integrity. Your integrity will preserve you. It will preserve your family. If you look in Psalms 25, and I mentioned that just a few moments ago. Let me turn over there for just a moment. Psalms 25, it says in verse 21, it says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me." Let uprightness and integrity preserve me. It will preserve you. It will preserve your family. Your children need to see parents with integrity. What we have today is not only individuals with no integrity. We have families with no integrity. We have churches with no integrity. We have a nation with no integrity. We have a world that is losing sight to the need of God in their lives.
Amen.
You know, back long ago, the Chinese built the China Wall because the hordes of the north were coming down and were attacking them. And they built a wall so thick and so high that no enemy could ever penetrate it. No enemy could ever go over it. But you know what happened? The horde simply came down and they bribed the gatekeeper. And invaded China three times. You know, we have to consider that it's not our national army that is keeping this nation safe. It's God. God, it's what made us a wholesome nation. And we need to keep in mind that it's not us that's keeping our church safe from the devil. It's God. And we need to get back to the fact and realize that it's not us that's keeping our family whole. It's God. And we're not within ourselves able to keep ourselves straight. It's God. God is the one who has sustained us. Integrity will preserve us. I believe that this integrity is the kind of integrity that Job had. What do you think of when I mention Job? The very first verse says that Job was perfect. Actually, if you read the first two chapters of Job, perfection and integrity are synonymous. A man of integrity. Remember what his wife said after the second battle with Satan? "Do you still retain your integrity?" We live in a day where people have no built-in belief systems. They have no ethical boundaries. Our high-tech society has given us everything, everything but a conscience. The psalmist in Psalms 25, and I'm not going to go through this complete psalm, but one of the grand designs of it, grand features of it, is the fact that it was his integrity, his relationship with God. And actually, if you want to get a good definition of integrity, read the 25th Psalm. I could go completely through this psalm this morning. And it's very clear that those that yield their souls to God are the ones with genuine integrity. Those who are trusting and are accountable and surrendering to God are those who have integrity. I want to say again this morning, I thank God that I had the privilege of knowing some strong people who had some sound integrity.
Amen.
You know, I realize that there's a lot of people that don't have that. I'm afraid we're going to eventually develop a generation that won't have that privilege. No one in their generation. You know, some of the brethren, good men and women that I grew up with at church that loved the Lord, they were loyal to God. I realize the bad apples always get the emphasis. But we have a whole bushel of good apples.
Yeah.
And we need to consider and reflect upon those that went before us, that served the Lord, that feared the Lord, that stood for the things of God, that lived their lives according to the Bible and according to Scriptures, followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that is defined in this particular psalm concerning integrity, the soul being led of the Lord, how it preserved their children, how they were teachable in verse 12, how that in verse 13 it says that the seed would be preserved. Your children need to see you not wealthy and not rich and not famous. Your children need to see some integrity in you. This generation needs to see integrity. A good name. We need to start majoring on the major and minoring on the minor. This is a major thing.
Amen.
The choices we make. We need to be constantly and consistently protecting our reputation.
Amen.
Who we hang with and what we do will reflect who we really are.
Amen.
Yeah, when I mention David, or I mention Moses, or I mention Peter, or I mention James, or John, or Andrew, there's something that you always think of. Good people. God-fearing people. People that love the Lord. When I start mentioning bad people, you also think about bad things, right? You cannot separate their conduct and their character from their name. Can you? No, you certainly can't. And the point is this, and it's a very simple point. It's a short message, actually. So is the case with you.
Amen.
And you might say, well, I've done some bad, hideous things. Here's the great thing. Jesus can erase that all and start you anew. There is a new life, listen to me, in Christ Jesus. Every person of the Bible had some problems and did some bad things and wrong things. But those that came to God found a spiritual integrity where they could stand and boldly declare that it wasn't them, but it was the grace of God. And listen, when we reflect the grace of God, it will last forever. It will be eternal. So, as we consider this, in Proverbs 19:1, it says, better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is that is a perverse in his lips and is a fool. We need to get back to the basics, the simple things taught in Scripture. The old, we call them old-fashioned things, but they're the only things that really last. Living a life of integrity in the fear of God. Amen. Oh, we need some people that just fear the Lord, that are just trying to serve the Lord. Listen, if you do achieve great wealth, when you die, you won't take a bit of that with you. But Jesus said, when you get to heaven, you will be known as you were known. What's that mean? Do you have a clue? Have any idea? You will be known as you have lived. All of us understand this principle. Why do we understand this principle? Because we are a people, as the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2 and 19, we are a people that are called by His name. We understand that it is the name of Jesus that is to be exalted. It's a name that was exalted above the angels. We believe that God has given Jesus a name which is above every name. Amen. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. There's no way that we can separate those of us that have been saved, can separate the name Jesus from Him living on this earth, dying for our sins, and resurrecting on the third day. There's an intrinsic connection between the name which is above every name, the name given under heaven, no greater name, amen, given under heaven, whereby ye must be saved. There's a connection between the name Jesus and what He did in life. And also there's a name, there's a condition, a principle that we understand from that, that what you do with the things that you have access to in life will also reflect your name. You're having an opportunity this morning to make some choices. You can either choose to seek the Lord and be saved, or you can choose not to. You can choose to get it all straightened out and worked out. You can have the honesty, the truthfulness, the integrity to face your sins. If you've never faced sin, like the Bible teaches, you're still lost. Amen? So as we stand and sing a verse of some song, if you're here today, are you going to be a person with genuine integrity? There may be somebody here this morning, and the Holy Spirit, God Almighty, has convinced you that you are wrong. Wrong in your beliefs. Wrong in your doctrines. Is that possible? Amen. Let me ask something. Raise your hand this morning if sometime along the way the Holy Spirit has convinced you that you were believing a heresy and not the truth. Would you raise your hand? Huh? Bunch of people. Bunch of people. But these people had, by the help of God and by the leadership of the Holy Spirit, if you read that 25th chapter of Psalms, it's through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that genuine integrity was found, where the Holy Spirit led them out of that. Amen. Amen? And led them to the truth. True integrity will yield, will surrender. You will never be whole until you yield to God. You'll never be whole till you yield to the truth. Some of you may have embraced some wrong that could be even damning to your soul. Does that happen? It does. I pray this morning that you'll get that name that's associated with the integrity of Jesus Christ. The truthfulness, the honesty that comes from the core of your soul being connected with God. May God convict you this morning. I believe we need to be convicted. Amen. That conviction is an intrinsic part of the process. Maybe there's somebody here this morning being convicted. Would you come? Would you pray? Would you seek the Lord? Find Him. You must know Him. Amen? Amen. He can change your life. Let us stand and sing.